You know, I know what God gave me to preach tonight, and I wanted to change it. And then God said, son, it's not your message. It's my message. And I'm just supposed to deliver it. And I would have loved to preach something I've preached before so I could be acquainted with it. I could follow it up. I could polish it. I could wax eloquent like every preacher wants to do. But God reminded me it's not my message. It's his message. And this is his book. And I got to preach it from what he gave me. Now, shortly, it wasn't very long after the conversation that I had with Brother Ross about coming here, God impressed upon me exactly what he wanted me to preach, something I had never preached before. And God would not let me change it. I know this is what God has for you tonight, that I, as his messenger, will give to you. I don't know exactly why. I don't know how the pieces are going to fall together. But I know this is what God laid on my heart. Amen. Two words tonight. Now, there's a lot of in-between. Don't get your hopes up. Amen. When we left last night, it was dark. Not dark yet. Amen. I think it was Dave Liffick. I think he's the one that initiated. But when I was pastoring here, there was a clock in the back of the auditorium. It was only for my benefit. I look around, I don't see a clock. That's fine. But he suggested that they take the clock down, hang a calendar back there. But I'm not sure what that means. I have no idea what that means, but I'm not long-winded. I just close several times. And I told my wife that she needs to have one of these little rabbits on a little cartoon rabbit on a piece of paper on a stick, and when I start chasing rabbits, she starts waving that thing. And I try not to chase rabbits, but it's inevitable. I try only to chase those that have meat on them. Amen. And but two words tonight, and we're gonna attack it from several different angles tonight. Two words God gave me several months ago, and it's been on my mind, and God will not let me change it. These two words: finish well. Amen. Finish well. Amen. In the church, in this camp meeting tonight, you look around. There's some friends and family that finished well. They served. They sacrificed. They're in heaven. It's up to you and me. It's up to us to finish well. Some people start out well, but they don't finish well. Now, God's certainly concerned about how we start. I believe that God is exponentially it's more important to God how we finish than how we start. Sometimes you don't get saved till later in life. You don't have a good start, so to speak. But that doesn't mean you can't finish well. I've often asked the Lord why he didn't allow me to get saved earlier. I didn't get saved till I was 19 in the Air Force. And I'm thinking, how much more could I have done had I been saved earlier? But God knows. He knows from the end, from the beginning. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Right. You're right.
And ironically, Jonathan, you're dealing with 50s last night. June 10th of next month will be 50 years since I trusted Christ as my Savior. A month after this church was started. There's no accidents with God. Only divine appointments. But we can finish well. We can finish, every one of us that are here tonight, you can determine in your heart you're going to finish well. The only person that can stop that from happening is you. Finish well. Take your Bibles, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is not familiar territory tonight. I'm going to go over some things that and re-remind you of some things you already know. We're not ignorant of the Scriptures. But sometimes we need reminders. Amen? We need reminders. Because, see, the older we get, our memory starts to fade. Now, normally that happens with age. However, the older you get, some things aren't as clear in the past. It's not happened with me. With me, the older I get, the better I remember. As a matter of fact, I can remember things that didn't even happen. That's how good my memory is. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is writing to a young preacher by the name of Timothy. And he's giving him a charge. Yes, a challenge, if you will. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Preach the word. These first five verses, he's going to be telling him things in general. And then in verses 6 or 8, he's going to get very, very personal. But he says, preach the word. What does that mean? That means proclaim divine truth. Amen. We have it right here. We have it right here. You see, Pilate, in John 18 and verse 38, asked Jesus, eyeball to eyeball, what is truth? What is truth? He was looking at truth. He was looking at the epitome of truth. And he asked Jesus, what is truth? Well, when Jesus was praying his high priestly prayer in John 17, verse 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see, this book doesn't just contain truth. It is truth. It's truth from cover to cover. You see, if it just contained truth, it might contain something else. But it doesn't contain truth. It is truth. Can you read in John 1 and verse 1 and that God was... it's there. It's still in the Bible, by the way. In the beginning was the Word. Thank you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. And dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the epitome of truth. He's the living Word of God. We have the written Word of God. As sure as Jesus was sinless and perfect, we've got a perfect book. You see, I don't belong to the Bible of the Month Club. It ain't broke, don't fix it. You see, this book was written to change you and me, not for us to change it. When you read it, don't say, not sure about that. No, you read it and you say, whew, I'm not doing that. I better change. I better get right. I'm not doing that. See, it's made to change us, not for us to change it. He said, preach the word. Preach the word. Back to our text, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Should have marked it in my Bible so I wouldn't lose it. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll get there in a second. Preach your word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come. The time has come. Amen. The time has come, will come, when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Everybody wants to have their ears tickled. Why, that appeals to the flesh. We all want the flesh to be satisfied. That's our carnal nature. You see, when we get saved, we get a new nature, but that old nature doesn't dissolve. That's the battle. The battle between the old nature, the carnal nature, and the spirit nature. The old man and the new man. And if the Apostle Paul had a problem with it, I guarantee you and I have a problem with it. Verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Make full proof of thy ministry. He's talking to Timothy, a young preacher, getting him equipped, teaching and training him. Then he gets real personal in verses 6 through 8. I want you to notice the pronouns, how he switches. For I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. The Apostle Paul gets very personal. I want you to notice something real quickly here. Keep your finger right here and go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I want you to notice something that changes in the heart and mind of the Apostle Paul. He's writing this prison epistle to the church at Philippi. In Philippians chapter 1, look at verse number 21. Now, this was written probably about 63 or 64 A.D. What we just read in 1 Timothy is about 66 A.D., He's fixing to meet his master. Look what he says several years earlier. Verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet will I choose, what I shall choose, I wot not. For I'm at a strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Here, abiding, he's wishing and willing to abide, not depart. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says that he's departing, not abiding. He said, that's far better for me. Why is that? He's getting closer to Jesus. He's getting closer to see him face to face.
Yes, sir.
And one day you and I will see him face to face. He says, "For I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." I want to give you several thoughts tonight on these last days of the Apostle Paul. How the Apostle Paul finished well. How he finished well. You see, we're not dealing with a prisoner who's being, he's going to be executed, but rather a sacrifice who's being offered.
Yep.
You see, Christ sacrificed for the Apostle Paul. Now the Apostle Paul is offered as a sacrifice because of Christ. Paul's life was not being taken, but rather he was offering his life to the Lord. You see, Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. Now Paul is laying down his life for the shepherd. I believe it was Jim Elliot who said, "That man is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." You see, the Apostle Paul was about to meet Jesus, but he was departing. He's not dying. He's departing.
That's right.
It's a big difference.
Yeah. Right.
Departing has two applications in the Bible. We are privileged to sit under this tent.
Yep.
An application of the word departing is taking your tent down and packing it up. Another application is a boat setting sail. You see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, our earthly tabernacle.
Yes. Yeah.
This house that we live in, the one that you and I see, this is not the real us. The real us is what we cannot see.
Yep.
It's the soul within us.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Paul said, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." He's departing. He wasn't dying. Those loved ones and friends and family that have finished their course, and they finished well.
Yes, sir.
They departed.
Yep.
They didn't die. They're very much alive today.
Amen.
They're more alive today than they were when they're with us.
Yes,
they simply departed.
Yep.
See, the Roman army, as big and vast as the Roman army was, they had to have means of communication. They'd use trumpets. They had three volleys of trumpets. The first one that they heard meant to get ready. The second one meant pack up. The third one, move out. Now, how does that have application to you and for me? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." By the way, man, punctuation is important.
Right.
Otherwise, you say, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." Nobody wants to be an ignorant brethren, right? "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." Amen. Punctuation is important. "What's for supper, mother?" You'll end up being a cannibal. "Concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend with heaven, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Right now, we're separated from Jesus. He's been in heaven preparing a place for us for almost 2,000 years.
Right.
When he spoke everything that we see and know of our world and our universe into existence in 6 days.
Yeah. Amen.
He's been in heaven for almost 2,000 years preparing a place for you and for me.
Yeah.
That's why he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions.
Yeah.
If we're not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again.
Yeah.
And receive you into myself, that where I am,
right,
present tense,
right,
where I am, there you should be with me also.
Yeah. Yeah.
One day, when we meet him in the clouds, or we meet him as we depart from this earth and have this earthly body changed into a heavenly body, we'll always be with Jesus forever.
Yeah.
Right now, we're separated from him. We have the presence and power of the Holy Spirit of God, but Jesus is in heaven,
yeah,
interceding for us, preparing a place for us. One day, we'll be with him for all eternity.
Yeah.
At the trump of God. Now take your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Yep. Right.
1 Corinthians 15.
Yeah.
The resurrection chapter, amen?
Yep. Yeah.
1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 51.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Good nursery verse, amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, look at this, at the last trump. You see, the third trumpet was not called the third trumpet. It was called the last trump. There's a first trump, that meant get ready. Second trump, pack up. We're there.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep. Yep.
We're waiting for that last trump.
Amen. Amen.
Move out.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Move out.
Amen.
Prepare to meet thy God.
Amen.
Because one of these days we will.
Yes, sir.
He was departing, not dying. Are you ready? Are you ready?
No.
I love that first Thessalonians 4. The Lord himself,
yeah,
shall descend from heaven. He's not sending an angel this time.
Yep.
When he comes to get us, he's coming himself.
Amen.
He's coming himself.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready? I believe Paul was looking around and he was satisfied that he was ready. Then he was looking back. It's okay to look back. Paul looked around without fear. And he could look back without regret.
Amen, preacher.
See, he didn't look back on his sin, or his failures, or his shortcomings. That's not what he was looking back on. He forgot those things.
Yep.
Forgetting those things which are behind.
Yep.
All those failures, all those flops, all those eggs that you laid. Preacher.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yep. Yep.
We all been there. Paul's looking back. But I believe he's looking back with a purpose. He's looking back with a purpose. He says, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He was looking back with a purpose. He was looking back as he preached and labored and sacrificed and paid the price to preach against the world, the flesh, and the devil. You see, Paul had finished his course. He'd run the race that God had for him to run. You and I have not finished our course yet. The Apostle Paul was nearing the end of his physical life. His course was marked by God. He kept the faith. You see, some have departed from the faith. Some have shipwrecked along the way. Some, through personal sin, have made themselves shipwrecked and torn. But Paul kept the faith. You see, as we look back on these 50 years, some of you have been here the entire time. Some of you joined as the 50 years went past. But we can look back on our lives. Have you fought a good fight? Have you fought a good fight? You say, wait. I thought it was always bad to fight. Well, depends on who your opponent is. Now, you know, you may have been raised in the same type of home that I was raised in, but we're taught not to pick a fight. But if a fight comes calling on you, you don't back down from a fight. Stand up. There is such a thing as a good fight. In the spiritual realm, anything that's fighting against the devil is a good fight. Anything that's fighting against sin is a good fight. You see, Paul fought a good fight. Are you a victor or are you a victim?
Right.
There are a lot of victims in our churches today. They sit in a corner and they suck their thumb. Oh, poor me. You see what the devil did to me? No, we can be a victor in Christ.
Amen.
Don't be a victim. Are you in the battle? Are you a casualty on the field? Have you finished your course? Have you kept the faith? The Apostle Paul had. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Paul looks back and he said, I don't have any regrets. He's not looking back and saying, I suffered and I shouldn't have suffered. I was shipwrecked and I shouldn't have been shipwrecked. I was stoned literally to death outside of Derbe and Lystra. I believe he was medically and physically and literally dead. I believe that's why he writes there he knew a man above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, he could not tell. I believe he's talking about his own experience. I believe medically and physically he was dead. You think about it. They stoned him. They left him for dead. They walked away from a lifeless body. Disciples go over there and they view the Apostle Paul. We're not talking about being stoned with gravel. Think about a half of a cement block being hurled at your head. And not just one, but dozens. Think of the blood. Think of the broken bones. Think of the body that's wrecked by pain. I believe God called the Apostle Paul to heaven. He saw things in heaven that not lawful for man to see, or words that he heard that were not lawful for man to utter. Can you imagine? Then the Lord says, oh, by the way, Paul, I'm not done with you. I want you to go down and get in that broken, bleeding body. I got work for you to do. Paul didn't look back and say, God, that you're not fair. Life isn't fair, but God is.
Amen.
God is always fair. But then he looked ahead. Amen. He looked ahead. Look at verse number 8. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness.
Yep.
Which the Lord, the righteous judge, not just a judge, a righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing.
Hey.
He looked ahead. He was not afraid of the future. He knew what lay ahead for him. See, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It's just a change of address.
Yep. Right.
Just stepping from the threshold of physical life into the realm of spiritual life.
Amen.
Paul looked ahead. He's not afraid. He knew what he was facing. He knew when he saw Jesus. That he'd get his reward. You see, this is not our rewards.
Yeah.
We haven't earned our rewards yet.
Yeah.
We're still earning them.
Yeah.
And may I say with all reverence tonight, that Brother Bob Ross is still earning rewards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Look around.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's why we don't get our rewards until we get to heaven. Rewards aren't done yet.
Amen.
We're just clipping coupons. Amen. We'll cash them in one day. Isn't it fun to serve the Lord?
Amen. Amen.
Yep. Yep.
People that don't serve the Lord, they don't know what they're missing.
That's right. Come on now.
The happiest Christians are the ones that serve the Lord with all their heart, mind, and soul.
Yes.
That's where true joy comes from.
Yep.
Comes from service.
Yes. Hey.
Don't get too anchored into this world. This world's not my home, yep. Just passing yep. through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue.
Yes.
The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Amen.
One of these days, we're going to get that call.
Amen.
Some have gotten that call already.
Amen.
Some have departed. Some have finished well. Some have finished well. Paul looked ahead. He saw a crown. He saw an incorruptible crown. Not like the one they gave with the laurel wreath of vines. At the Olympic Games, not a corruptible crown. He was looking for that incorruptible crown. A crown of righteousness, a crown of life, a crown of glory. He was looking for that well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Amen.
Is that what you're looking for tonight? Are you looking for the Savior to look at you eyeball to eyeball and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you finished well. You finished well. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. How about us tonight? Let's make it personal tonight. How about us tonight? Are you afraid to look ahead? Are you afraid of the future? Because you're not sure what's going to happen? I'm glad I trusted Christ as my Savior almost 50 years ago. Are you saved? You see, there's an appointment. Every one of us has an appointment. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. We have an appointment. There is a judgment. We will be judged for what we did as God's children. Those that are saved, since we've been saved. We'll have our rewards. Or loss of rewards, either one. One day, life is going to end for you and for me. None of us know the day or the hour. For some of us, it could be sooner than expected. Our going home may be sudden. Or we may have time to contemplate our life. I've heard people say, dozens of people over the years, well, if I'm saved and I'm saved eternally, then I'll just wait till the last day and then I'll get saved. That doesn't happen that way.
That's right.
Amen.
Yep.
Right.
Doesn't happen that way.
Yep.
Yep.
Today's the day of salvation.
Amen. Right. Yep. Yep.
I'm not saying you'll never have doubts about it. But which way do you look? Do you look with regret or anticipation?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
I've often told the folks that I pastor, when we stand before God, we stand before Jesus Christ Himself and He judges us, we'll have one or two responses. I'm glad I did,
yep,
or I wish I had.
Yes, sir. Come on,
right.
Yeah. You got it.
I'm glad I did,
yep,
or I wish I had. Anticipation or regret? Yield your heart and life to Christ.
Amen.
If you know you're God's child, maybe God's calling you. Maybe God wants you in full-time service. For me, as soon as I got saved, as I remember almost 50 years ago now, as soon as I got saved, I knew God called me. But see, those of you that know me, I'm an introvert by nature. I don't like people. Now, I like y'all. It's okay. I like y'all. It's all right. But I'm a loner by nature. So when God called me to preach, I said, God, I can't do that. You made a mistake, God. God makes no mistakes. And I told Him, I can't do that. And He said, son, you're right. You can't. But I can.
Yep.
I said, God, I'll do this and I'll do this and I'll do this, but don't ask me to preach. I can't do that.
Yeah.
What was I doing? I was giving God my perceived strengths. But see, if God uses our perceived strengths, and then something happens, we say, hey, look at that over there. See that? I did that. That's me. Woohoo. And who gets the glory? Not God.
Right.
But if we give Him our weaknesses, and then He does something miraculous, we know it's not us.
Right. Amen.
It's all Him, and He gets all the glory.
Amen.
How about it tonight? Have you given God your perceived strengths? Or have you given God your weaknesses? I'm so glad that almost 9 months after I was saved and 5,000 miles later, that we serve a God of a second chance. And at Lana Keela Baptist Church in Waipahu, Hawaii. Say that fast 3 times. God broke my heart.
Praise God.
Yep. And I said, God, I don't know why You want me. But You got me.
Amen.
Are you looking forward to tomorrow? To heaven? With regret or anticipation? Paul was looking for anticipation. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing.
Amen.
Finish well.
Good.
Finish well. It's your choice.
Yep.
My choice.
Yep, sir.
Finish well.
Yep.